we need somebody who's going to echo Cato from the Roman Senate, who said, after every speech, you say, oh, one more thing. Carthage must be destroyed. Well, I think we need somebody in Congress who's going to say after every speech, oh, and one more thing. The EPA must be destroyed. I know we've got a lot of agencies that fit that bill, but when you look at the EPA, they are laser focused on our food, our fuel, and so many other things. They are the bureaucracy that has been tasked with implementing the climate MacGuffin on us to take everything away from us. They're taking away our transportation. They're taking away our fuel. They're taking away our energy on the grid, as they tell everybody, well, you got to get everything hooked onto the grid. You know, your car, your range, your heating, your air conditioning. Oh, I'm sorry, we got to shut down the power plants now as well. And now they're coming after locally produced beef. And folks, forget about these clowns, Biden and Trump. You're going to stop these people at the local level if you're going to stop them. And that's what I want to talk about here with the climate stuff. This is an op-ed piece on Brownstone by Robert Malone. He says the EPA is threatening locally produced beef. The EPA must be destroyed. And another blow to decentralize natural meat production, EPA rule indirectly shuts down small meat producers via overreach of the Clean Water Act. And of course, that is redundant. The Clean Water Act is the ultimate in overreach. The Clean Water Act is the idea that any water anywhere is under federal jurisdiction. It doesn't have to be a river. It doesn't have to cross state lines. And we've seen this used against a family that had 8 acres, and they had created a pond in Montana. Working class family, couple of kids, they used the pond as a swimming pool. They had one cow watered off of that, and it was completely contained. It was part of the site plans and everything, signed off by the local officials in accordance with local and state laws. And the EPA came in and tried to run up millions of dollars worth of fees against him. And he fought them for years. They even said at one point they tried to garnish his wages, and he had to fight them to keep them from garnishing his wages, acting as if they were the IRS or something. And they have taken on, basically usurped all these other things that they have absolutely no authority for. But claiming that this isolated pond fell under the Clean Waters Act, the waters of the U.S. On January the 23rd this year, writes Robert Malone, under the Biden administration guidance, the EPA proposed a new rule that will bring 3,879 meat and poultry products processing facilities under their jurisdiction. This is a massive empire-building bureaucracy. And again, this type of thing has typically been under the jurisdiction of the USDA. You know, the FDA is out there with food additives and other things like that in terms of meat processing and stuff like that. It's usually the USDA. Probably the best hope that we've got of pushback against these people is that some of the bureaucrats at the USDA would say, wait a minute, that's our little fiefdom there. You can't do that. So he said they put this rule out on January the 23rd. It was swiftly followed by an abbreviated comment period, which closed on March the 25th, 2024, and then immediate implementation of the rule change. All of this justified by wastewater levels of nitrogen and phosphorus coming from animal meat processing, mirroring the World Economic Forum's agenda to minimize nitrogen runoff, the same thing that has been the rationale for shutting down farms in the Netherlands, for example. So you didn't think that was going to come here? Well, yeah. And it's going to come through this out of control bureaucracy. And this is why I say that these so-called treaties, the Paris Climate Accord Treaty or the Pandemic Treaty or the new IHR, the new international health regulations, all of that stuff Even though they don't follow the procedure to ratify a treaty, you don't even have to do that. They will use the bureaucracy to create rules for which you have no due process. It is regulation without representation. It is taxation without representation. It's going to be starvation without representation. That's what the EPA will bring to us. They write whatever they want. They've been given carte blanche, these unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats, to do whatever they wish. And they simply put up a comment period. That's it. That's supposed to be a check on what they do. That is not a check at all. They can completely ignore the comments, just as the EPA did. They can make the comment period very short, ignore all the comments, and that's exactly what they did in this particular case, as Robert Malone is pointing out. The new rule involves a major shift in the technology-based effluent limitations guidelines and standards for the meat and poultry industry, threatening their livelihoods by forcing them to add water filtration systems to their facilities. What does this mean to small meat processing facilities? It's been reported that the initial cost to install a water filtration system, bringing it into compliance, would be between $300,000 and $400,000, with a minimum of $100,000 annual maintenance. This would force many small meat processing facilities to shutter their doors. It is also a direct attack on the Buy Local Foods movement. If local meat producers no longer have a nearby facility to process meat, they will no longer be able to provide their product direct to the customer at food markets or online. And again, as we've seen, the moves by the USDA or by state departments of agriculture against Amos Miller and some other Amish farmers, they want to shut down local meat production. This is the way to do it in compliance with the global agenda being done by Washington bureaucracy. And how do we fight it? We have to fight it at the local level. And it can be fought at the local level because the EPA has no ability to enforce this. And they have no authority to create this rule in the first place. As a matter of fact, there is no authority in the Constitution for the EPA to even exist. It was an abomination created by Richard Nixon. And it has to be destroyed. It must be destroyed. You've had a weak counter effort by a couple of people in Congress that has absolutely no chance of passing. There isn't any support for people in Washington to ban the EPA. But we can effectively nullify it at the state and or local level. And we must do that. If you've got people who are on the ball at the state level, they can nullify rules from the ATF. They can nullify rules from the EPA. And we're not going to be able to ban these organizations, but we can keep them from doing any of this stuff if we have good people at the local level. Trump and Biden are a distraction. Neither one of them is going to do anything to check the EPA. They're not even going to talk about this. If they've got their debates, I can guarantee you up front, I know exactly what they're going to be talking about. It's the same thing they always are asked at these debates. And they'll just be recycling the same issues that they've been talking about for 30 or 40 years. They've got a couple of wedge issues that they'll talk about. They won't give you any hardcore statements of what they're going to do. And if they do, you can be guaranteed that they're not going to follow them once they get into office. The Kansas Natural Resource Coalition filed comments opposing the proposed rule and was joined by other county coalitions and by American Stewards of Liberty, KNRC, an organization of 30 Kansas counties, states these proposed rules will regulate indirect discharge facilities that departs from constitutional and statutory authority. Well, again, the EPA was a departure from constitutional and statutory authority, and it will significantly alter the balance between state and federal powers. They also state the proposal, quote, gives priority to environmental justice goals. They're continuing to make this lawfare. They're continuing to focus on the climate stuff as a human rights type of issue. We're seeing that type of legislation. We saw it in Switzerland, for example. That's the strategy. It's always global, and it's, or you know, the strategy that they come up with and use in Switzerland, which worked in Switzerland. You can be certain that they're going to try that here and that it will work in places like California and New York and places like that. And that was where you had the group of 70-year-old women who said that, you know, pollution was affecting their quality or longevity of life or some kind of nonsense like that. And so they'll use the courts in any way that they can. They'll use any tactic that they can to try to impose this on people. So they also state that the proposal gives priority to environmental justice. The EPA jurisdiction under the Clean Water Act is not based on ecological importance or on environmental justice. So your Clean Water Act is not about that at all. And of course, they're the same people who polluted several rivers with their accidents, trying to clean up a mine, they said, demonstrating that the comment period was mere window dressing to meet formal federal comment requirements. Immediately on March the 25th, the EPA jammed through a finalized version of its devastating act, that addition to the Clean Water Act. They called it Effluent Limitations, Guidelines, and Standards for the Meat and Poultry Products Point Source Category. Well, it is effluence, isn't it? It's pure Bolshevik. Clearly, this is another case of aggressive, arbitrary, and capricious EPA regulatory overreach, writes Robert Malone. It is directly analogous to the recent Supreme Court case, West Virginia versus the EPA, a landmark decision of the Supreme Court relating to the Clean Air Act, and the extent to which the EPA can regulate carbon dioxide emissions related to climate change. According to the EPA, after months of study and testing to look for bacteria, viruses, etc., what they actually found in the wastewater of processing facilities was nitrogen and phosphorus, two of the fundamental elements which all living things are composed of. Carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, phosphorus. When you talk, as these people have been talking about most of my life, about banning carbon and this kind of stuff, it is absolute absurdity. And if you accept what they're doing, a lot of people will accept it and argue it. Well, this process generates less carbon dioxide than you really think or whatever. If you go down that path, you are playing their game and they're trying to ban natural. It's like saying we've got to ban water. And now I have a carte blanche to do anything necessary to ban water or water vapor, because, you know, water vapor is far more of a greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide is only 0.04%. And if you look at the man-made carbon dioxide, oh, it's much smaller. And if you look at man-made carbon dioxide based on transportation, well, that comes at 2.5 times 1/10,000th of a percent. 2.5/10,000th of a percent. The EPA has decided that the entire meat industry, from slaughtering beef to poultry, marinas to packaging, must now retrofit current facilities and lagoons, and biomass dissipates to turn nutrients into CO2 and methane in order to prevent these pollutants from entering local water supplies. So now they want CO2 and methane. Now CO2 and methane are not as dangerous as nitrogen because they got to starve us. The EPA anticipates these new rules will at least result in the closure of 16 processing facilities across the country at a time when our country's meat producers are already struggling. However, on the high side, the EPA itself estimates that this might have an impact range of closing up to 845 processing facilities. So is it 16 or is it 845? Do they care? Yeah, they do. Actually, I think they want the 845 to shut down. These people are at war with us. They have been imposing sanctions, which is an act of war, since Trump and his orders in 2020. And it's only getting worse. We've got all kinds of sanctions on everything about our life, our energy use, our transportation, our food, everything is being sanctioned by these people. And at some point, we've got to push back against our enemies domestic. Peacefully, that would be nullification. It would be done at the local and the state level. And we need to try to do that. before we do anything else, for sure. We don't want to have a war. But these people are at war with us. They want to destroy everything we have. They want to starve us. They want to kill us. That's what the injections are about. They're not sugar water. It's suicidal injections. It's national suicide. What these people are all doing, they're all on the same page. And they're all trying to kill their own people. On Rumble, Junk Silver. The EPA is Richard Nixon's enduring FU to all of us. Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. Yeah, it's always bothered me about Roger Stone. He's got a Nixon tattoo on his back, but I never said it to Roger. But I said, well, of course, he was a backstabbing politician. That is appropriate memorial to him. But I can think of many backstabbing politicians besides Richard Nixon. So I guess we should get all of their tattoos of their faces all over our backs just to remember how these guys have stabbed us repeatedly. Facilities can bypass these new regulations by drastically reducing their weekly annual pounds process. See, there you go. There's your out. Just start scaling it down. We can make meat rare. Yeah. How do you like your beef? I like it rare. As in never available and expensive. That's the key, right? You do it. How do you do it? You do it from the inside. You do it with disruption. And you do it iteratively, right? That's what they would like to do. They would like to, okay, should we shut you down right away? If they shut down everything, people might start to wake up. So here's what we'll do. Right now, just reduce the amount of processing that you're doing. And all of a sudden people say, why is meat getting so expensive? And chicken and pork and everything that we eat. Why is it getting so expensive? They don't know that these people are having to cut down their production to even stay in business a little bit. And then they'll keep ratcheting that down until they just they disappear. It'll be done iteratively from the inside with disruption. The rule change fails to provide clarity of funding to local water treatment facilities. Here's the other thing, too. It's such a phony thing. The EPA fighting to cover up what some scientists within the EPA know about fluoride. Fighting to cover that up, keep that hidden. They're dumping poison and have been dumping poison into the water supply, calling it medication. If it was helpful, it's not helpful if you dump it into the water. You have no way to control the dosage, so you're going to have some people getting too much overdosing, and you're going to have other people getting too little, assuming that it is really a medication. None of it makes any sense. So while they're fighting to continue to dump industrial waste into our water, they're trying to use the Clean Water Act as a means to shut down our meat. Hey, the federal government is our enemy. The rules fail to account for foreign inputs. The rules specify 17 species of endangered animals that may be affected by salt residue as these salts flow downstream from processing facilities. This is bogus language to attempt to establish jurisdictional standing. Like I said, they even came after this family that had a small pond on 8 acres of land, and it wasn't connected to anything else. They even tried to impose it on that. The rules do not differentiate between facilities that are near navigable waters or facilities that have private water rights. So, in Congress, what are they doing? Well, two congressmen, Estes and Burleson, have proposed the Beef Act. And I'm sure that that stands for some silly, you know, phrase or something. Here it is. Beef. Banning EPA's encroachment on facilities. Yeah, I've got a beef with what they do. I've got a beef with their very existence. But look, just get rid of that encroachment on facilities. Just make it the Banning the EPA Act. Let's make this a little bit more direct. Whereas under the 10th Amendment, no powers are delegated to the federal government to protect our environment. And whereas any environmental protection is best done by the people who live there, we therefore hold that the EPA is unconstitutional and terminate it immediately, especially considering that it is experimented, violated the Nuremberg things back in 2012. It was trying to was looking for people who had respiratory issues, putting them on diesel fine particulate matter that was 72 times more dense than what they said would harm people. Anyway, this legislation currently has a 1% chance of being enacted and only a 4% chance of passing out of the House Committee on Transportation. Why is that in the House Committee on Transportation? Why isn't it on food? So anyway, this is, and by the way, this is the House where the GOP has a majority. Meanwhile, you have Biden punishing drillers and consumers. Let's just talk about it that way, because that's where it's ultimately going to go. Zero Hedge article points out it will be a 15-fold increase in permitting costs and plans to block Arctic oil extraction. So, you know, depending on which way the wind is blowing and who's doing the reporting this week, Biden is for oil extraction out of the Arctic or he is against it. 1 week after the Biden administration slapped new regulations on key power grid components, the Washington Post reports that U.S. oil and gas companies will face a 15-fold increase in costs to drill on federal land under a new rule released on Friday. Under it, the Interior Department's Bureau of Land Management, it's the BLM, same people there, the Mundy Ranch. And I just saw an article, a Drudge Report, saying, you know, it was a decade ago and the Bundys are still grazing their cattle there. Yeah. See, you can stand together and you can fight the system. And think about that. You know, look at, they've really come after the Bundys, especially Ammon. They've tried to lock them up. They have locked them up. They tortured him when he was in jail. But if you stand firm, you can fight these people. And they had a lot of people who stood with them. And 10 years later, they're still grazing their cattle. And boy, you talk about grazing. I don't know how these cattle find anything to eat out there in that desert. It truly is amazing. But as they were saying, oh, well, we got to shut all this down to protect the desert tortoise. The desert tortoise, studies showed, actually thrived with cattle there. The cattle droppings, you know, the Bolsheviks that they're dropping as they feed there, that had enough moisture and the tortoise could actually feed off of that stuff. And gave them another moisture reservoir, not to mention the fact that the ranchers that were there, the Bundys, had put up watering troughs and things like that for the cattle, which helped to get that moisture out there. But they had more desert tortoise with the cattle than they did before there were cattle there. Anyway, the BLM will now require drillers to pay $150,000 per lease on federal lands, up from $10,000. $10,000 to $150,000. And the first comprehensive update to the federal oil and gas leasing program in over three decades. Fossil fuel companies will also be required to pay higher royalties to the government on oil and gas extracted from federal lands.
The David Knight Show is a critical thinking super spreader. If you've been exposed to logic by listening to the David Knight Show, please do your part and try not to spread it. Financial support or simply telling others about the show causes this dangerous information to spread farther. People have to trust me. I mean, trust the science. Wear your mask. Take your vaccine. Don't ask questions.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.